Theory Radio. I love that song. Oh no, here comes a commie. Love it. All the Bernie buffoons. Now the Communist Party USA leadership's getting behind old Hillary. Just shows what scum they are. Machiavellian scum. Now, fish kills. Purposeful. Is it judgment? Is it Fukushima rain cycle? I don't know, but the stuff's getting weird. And I got notes. Floods, fires everywhere. Okay. Floods, just flash floods, just killing people, dragging away vehicles, wildfires. Now, you know, I lived out in California. I was on the military base. We had wildfires, but I think we have so encroached in California upon the natural environment where it was wilderness before. Now it's just, it just seems so much more, oh my God, because all these houses. Well, you done developed. You know, and I've said this forever. It's like we need kind of a moratorium on developing forest land. Land has been untouched by man. I think there's been enough that's been developed. It's this urban sprawl. It's this white flight. It's just like, okay, like the city of St. Louis. I was driving around the other day. My God, St. Louis is in full-blown implosion. People are reverting back to complete ferality. I mean, animal level. I'm out and I'm just like, holy crap, it's so bad. And I know all of our major cities are the exact same way. People have, they just become dumbed down to the point where they're operating on beast level. And I hate to be a realist like this, folks, but I'm looking around. I'm like, my gosh, these people have no chance. They're operating on base impulses, food, sex, get high, listen to music. That's what they're doing. That's it. I mean, or watch TV, whatever, play Pokemon Go. And I got a Pokemon Go video that I'm going to play. But my time runs out so quickly. Mr. Producer, get clip 8 ready. I got to rip on this freak show Obama real quick. This punk. This dirtbag, Dreams from My Real Father. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. And you do the research on this creep. Mr. Producer, hit clip 8.
I think the Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president. I said so last week, and he keeps on proving it.
A blunt answer to a simple question. But President Obama didn't want to stop it.
So this... And I'm not going to cuss, but this little acorn community organizer, little tranny screw-in punk, Larry Sinclair's giving him fellatio in the limo while he's smoking crack. He's got the nerve to tell me that Donald Trump is unfit for office. Donald Trump, like him or hate him, the guy never drank, doesn't do drugs, manages billions of dollars, and this little skinny, as Pastor Manning says, long-legged Mac Daddy, crack daddy, he's got the balls to say that Donald Trump is unfit for office. I mean, this is 1984. This is Brave New World. When this little chicken neck, feminine, water gun shooting, leg crossing like a woman wussy is going to tell me that Trump is not fit for office. When this guy, holy crap, you Secret Service guys that protect him, I know you want to crush him. He's weak. He's pathetic. He's a turd. And he was picked. Frank Marshall Davis's son. This little knucklehead. Stanley Ann Dunham. These commies, Bill Ayers, this little wussy Bill Ayers walks around free in Chicago. He bombed the Pentagon and police stations. This little punk thinks he's hard. I'd like to choke Bill Ayers out. This is the gutless, weak society we live in. All right. Now, am I willing to throw my life away to go up to Chicago and whoop Bill Ayers? Because I know I'd get thrown under the jail. Because, see, he's protected. He's a commie. Oh, no. Here comes a commie. You see, they can do whatever they want. Because, see, they're the pets of the Jewish mob. Because, see, the Jewish mob created communism right along with their little Jesuit buddies. All right? You got carte blanche to do what you want if you're a left-wing, pinko, wuss. Oh, power to the people, terrorist. You see, but if you're somebody that loves your traditions and you love the old school and you love masculinity and you love beautiful women and all that crap, oh, guess what? You break a fingernail off in the wrong direction, they're going to throw you under the jail. You see, this is the feminization, the emasculation of our society. and they love it. They sit there and love to rub it in our face, all right? So, but that really got under my collar, and I'm not on the Trump train. Maybe I'm on the caboose. And when I'm looking at Hillary versus Trump, Mr. Producer, get clip two ready, and let's talk about Gary Johnson real quick, because Johnson's going to be the Ross Perot that might possibly spoil Trump getting in versus Hillary and the Clinton Bush crime families reassuming power. Now Obama's another subsidiary of these clowns, okay? But they want another term. So let's play clip two.
This shouldn't be a long video, but I want to make it really, really clear. So I'm sure Gary Johnson is overall a much more decent person than any candidate who's actually been on the stage of the debates anytime in recent history. But that is not the point of the fact that Gary Johnson is nearing a primetime slot in the debates coming up. This is all about engineering the improbable and yet inevitable win of Hillary Clinton. When was the last time a third-party candidate was in the debates that's usually held by only the two-party candidates? The answer? 1992 with Ross Perot. And while I have much more in common with Ross Perot than Bush or Clinton, and think he was probably a more decent guy, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, he was a spoiler who probably got Bill Clinton elected over George H.W. Bush. And now, 24 years later, Gary Johnson, whatever else he might represent, is quite possibly going to be the secret weapon of Hillary Clinton to become elected, or rather, selected.
Hillary Clinton.
You can stop it there. You can stop it there, Mr. Producer. But you're getting the gist of it. Will Gary pull enough of the buffoons off the right that Bill Kristol and the rest of these Jewish thug neocon Trotskyites pull into voting for Gary Johnson? You know, Glenn Beck and all the wussified Mormons like Romney, all these punks. Traitors that talk about their white horse prophecy crap. But anyway, are they going to pull more off the right to ensure a Hillary victory with Trump? Now, look, you guys know I'm leery of Trump. He's surrounded by Jewish mobsters in the city of New York. I've talked about this ad nauseum. Hillary, if I got to pick one of the two, I would rather see Trump, of course. I mean, for me to say that, I'm cutting my own testes off to say I would rather see Hillary in the office than Trump. I mean, any person, any man with any amount of testosterone left in his body has got to say, hey, I want Trump running my country versus this mass murdering criminal, the Clinton body count. Look it up on whatreallyhappened.com, the Clinton body count, people. And I don't want to wait, you know, I'm not saying it's wasting time, but it's up there. Read Ron Brown and all these people, the state troopers. I mean, Bill Clinton used to go to the women's prisons in Arkansas and bang female inmates. I mean, come on. Do you want these people back in? And I know Obama is a subsidiary, like I said, but I just don't know. Is Trump going to be another George W. Bush, like kind of a guy that's – You know, he's still talking about Ike winning World War II. Is he going to be? Are they going to insulate and compartmentalize him to where they pull a massive false flag under him, and he doesn't even know that it's his own executive branch that does it? That's something that we need to think about with Trump. Now, look, Hillary ordered the hit on Koresh in Waco, folks. Hillary was in on Oklahoma City. If you don't know that, you got to be an idiot. The left, look at Obama, Sandy Hook, Boston. The left, it loves false flag terror just as much as the right does. So don't think that, oh my gosh, if Trump gets in, they're going to pull another 9/11 because the Republicans did 9/11. Yeah, big deal. The Democrats did a bunch of small 9/11s throughout their time in office as well. So you're screwed either way. All right, you're not going to just because you get Hillary in somehow that they're not going to pull false flags on you. You got to be a buffoon to think that way. So don't think that way. Now, whether Trump gets compartmentalized and they run false flags under his watch, that's quite possible because Trump still thinks Ike was a good guy in one World War II. I mean, he still thinks San Bernardino and all this ISIS crap in Europe with these attacks is like real. And so somebody needs to get to Trump and say, hey, quit listening to Alex Jones and Roger Stone, because these two jerk-offs, they're running disinformation on their own audiences. And Roger Stone's on like every other day with Alex Jones. And I mean, I listen to all this crap and I've got to digest it and I got to try to make sense out of it. Trump had a lot of good people on at that Republican convention, okay? And it's much more promising than the other side. Now, let's get into this Kazir Khan and Tim Kaine and all this. I ain't got that much time left. I got Tim Kaine pulled up on the Wikipedia, all right? So this guy, he went to the University of Missouri, huh? Isn't that nice? Right here in my home state. And went to Harvard, Harvard Mafia. Look up Dr. Francis Boyle if you want to get into the Harvard Mafia. University of Richmond School of Law. Now, he was a governor, lieutenant governor of Virginia in 01, governor of Virginia in 05, serving from 06 to 2010. Then he was head of the DNC from 2009 to 2011. He just hands the baton off to the Jewess, Wasserman Schultz, okay? And now he's magically the VP candidate, Jesuit boy, speaks Spanish real nice, Honduras, all that crap I played last week, okay? Now, here's some interesting stuff. All right. University of Missouri, he graduated in 1979. Now I'm looking at this guy, Kazir Khan, okay? The guy that spoke at the DNC and trashed Trump, lost his captain's son at the in the Iraq War. Well, guess where he received his Master of Law degree from? You want to guess, listeners? University of Missouri, 1982. Specialization being in international trade law involving Islamic nations, especially Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. So old boy Tim Kaine, the VP, he gives his boy Khan here, who entered the United States in 1980 and received his Master of Law from the University of Missouri, same place Kaine went in 82. You see the overlap here? And he gets to speak at the DNC and bring his little hijab wife up while she stays quiet and he talks his smack on Trump. Now, Operation Cyclone, okay? funded Islamic terrorists in a U.S. bid to destroy what was then in Afghanistan, government friendly to Russia. Okay, so that was in 79. Carter signed a secret order authorizing Operation Cyclone in Afghanistan. That's a big new Brzezinski. Remember him with his picture with Osama bin Laden with the big machine gun? I mean, this stuff goes deep, people. This goes sit deep. So this Kazir Khan punk, okay? Now, as part of the CIA's Operation Cyclone, American intelligence agents began recruiting young Pakistani law students and attorneys, most particularly from the Punjab University Law College, PULC, in Lahore, Pakistan, controlled by Pakistan's ISI, one of whom was Khazir Khan. Okay, now this is Wayne Madsen was digging into this. So, Mr. Producer, let's get into clip 10, and let's start with the first segment.
And, of course, with Khazir Khan, there's a backstory, and the fact is he's a co-founder of an academic journal that was basically trying to sell Sharia law in systems of practice Western jurisprudence based on Roman law and English common law. And,
Pause. Oh, did you hear that? Based on Roman law and English jurisprudence. That's your admiralty. That's your 14th Amendment crap that all the heavyweights on our network talk about, folks. Continue, Mr. Producer.
It's for Sharia law in Western legal systems. It's a practice that comes out of the 11th century. And for anyone to advance the idea that Western jurisprudence can coexist with Sharia law is really out there where the buses don't run.
Well, let's talk about this journal. Let's get into your detailed report.
Yeah. He co-founded this journal. The other co-founder was an individual who ran an Islamic law center in Geneva, Switzerland, who has been tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this, again, is very suspicious because we know that Hillary Clinton's close aide, Huma Abedin, her mother, who teaches a college at an all-women's college, by the way, in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. I haven't heard Hillary Clinton complain about that sort of sexism. This individual who was co-founded the journal with Khazir Khan, member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Huma Abedin's mother has been accused of having links to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Stop it there, Mr. Producer. Go ahead and forward to 3627. So now you see this connection, Muslim Brotherhood, and you get into Muslim Brotherhood, and it's British British intelligence, and it's Marxism, Fabian Society crap. It's basically the Brits trying to implement socialism cocktail with Sharia into the Islamic world, okay? Kind of a collectivist left, you know. It's really, really twisted. But Huma Abedin, like, and her mommy teaching at an all-women's school in Jeddah. I mean, this stuff is so sick when you get into this. And Tim Kaine, I'm going to try to tie him into this in a minute. Go ahead and play the next segment.
Enough Michelle Malkin, who built that, where she's pretty apolitical about it, and she just goes through the guys who invented air conditioning, the guy Maglite flashlight.
That's not it. We were supposed to be at 3627 in the same video. Okay, keep going then.
The steel bridges, all these great stories of entrepreneurs. And you just think, I wish I could force Obama and all these communists to read this. Because when you...
That's Gavin McInnes and Jones. I don't know what happened there. That's... All right. Let's try 3745. Maybe something happened there.
And just start doling out woolly mammoths to
you
people
can stop it. You
and
can
see
stop
how it goes.
Something happened there. I don't know what that was. We got jacked up, but that's kind of crazy. But we're coming up on a break anyway, and I'll try to look at it during the break because there was something really interesting there with that video that somehow we missed it. But I know there's a break coming up. So, Mr. Producer, get clip 13 ready. I know the break's about to come, and here it is. But now I'm going to look at that other clip while we're on break.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
I want to apologize to the board op. I sent him so many clips that sometimes I get him screwed up. But Mr. Producer, let's try clip 10 again at 3627. This is Madsen and Jones.
Well, he's brought here in the 80s. He's a perfect cutout. He's hooked in with all these other groups that supply legal help to overstay visas. I mean, this guy is just classic. In my view, he has all the signs of being one of these worldwide Islamicist operatives.
Yeah, and the other thing is, he's a member of the New York Bar, which would explain him having an office in New York City, although he lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, with his wife. Now, Charlottesville is a sanctuary city. It's the home of the University of Virginia, but he's not a member of the Virginia Bar.
Okay, and, stop it when there. I suggested stop it there. That he made- Mr. Producer. And let's forward to 3745. So he lives in Tim Kaine, the VP's home state, where he was governor. And guess what? Now he was head of the DNC, and now he's the VP running mate of Hillary Clinton. Now I got Tim Kaine's little bio pulled up. Now he was mayor of Richmond. Listen to this. He was the city's first white mayor in more than 10 years. 8-1 vote, majority black council, because he's a Jesuit, which was viewed as a surprise. Rudy McCollum, an African-American city councilor, also interested in the position of mayor, decided to back Kaine after a private meeting between the two, clearing the way for Kaine to win the election. Yeah, the Jesuits gave an offer he can't refuse. It's like, we're going to whack your punk butt unless you let my boy here take over. Now, he was lieutenant governor 2002-2005. He runs for governor, wins. Everybody look him up on Wikipedia. But then, guess what? Let's go to the Virginia Tech shooting, 2007. 32 people were killed. Kaine appointed an 8-member Virginia Tech review panel chaired by Virginia State Police Superintendent W. Gerald Massengill to probe the event. The commission members included specialists in psychology, law, forensics, higher education, as well as former Secretary of Homeland Security Tom Ridge. It first met in 07. So this Jesuit guy speaks Spanish. He proposed $42 million of investment in mental health programs and reforms, including boosting access to outpatient and emergency mental health services. You see how this ties in, folks? Columbine, Virginia Tech, these crazy shootings, and now the vice presidential candidate of the United States, Virginia. I wanted to say this, Virginia. What is it based on? The Virgin Mary. Okay, you got Maryland, you got Virginia. You got Washington, D.C., formerly called Rome. This is the Georgetown Jesuit kind of Vatican axis. And Tim Kaine now is sitting as your VP candidate. Now, I wanted to say this. Trump is in danger of assassination. Mike Pence, a Noahide Gentile. Oh, the Christian Zionists and the Protestant world just think Mike Pence is the greatest thing to ever take a crap on a toilet. Okay, he's that hardcore BB's boy, the rest of it. Now you've got Hillary. Her running mate is Tim Kaine, Jesuit darling. Okay, another wing of the Jewish mafia. I said this to Kyle last week. Bill Clinton is in massive danger of dying before the election. But now, right after the election, if they select Hillary, and you got Drudge Report, got her looking, can't even walk up the stairs without handlers. Go to Drudge Report, people. It's all over. See, they're trying to make Hillary look like completely damaged goods. She's doing the little demonic neck bob at the, talking about her little chai tea with the reporters. Guess what? Hillary's out. And so this is the thing. Both Bill and Hillary, I can consider now, with Tim Kaine as the running mate, both of those two, Bill before the election, Hillary after the selection, they've got their bets hedged. You got Mike Pence over there if they decide to whack Trump, and then you've got Tim Kaine, this darling of the Jesuits. I mean, this guy's connected to the hilt in the state of Virginia, the Virgin. Okay, now I've got a book by David Ovison called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, okay? And it's very fascinating because the entire nation's capital was basically laid out, and the way they've got it all squared out there is has to do with the sign of the Virgin, Virgo. And if you just do the research, folks, it's very weird. So you've got the vice presidential candidate coming from Virginia, Virgin, and now if you get into the esoteric side of the house with David Ovison and the secret architecture of our nation's capital, you get into the street layouts, the whole nine yards, it's all based on Virgo, okay? So which I find just very brilliant. I find it just crazy, but none of this is an accident. And it's just insane, okay? So let's see here. And for all the Bible prophecy people, let me see here. Mr. Producer, get clip 16 ready because we got to get into this. This whole axis between, and we got to switch gears because I got a half hour left. The whole axis between Russia, Iran, and now Turkey is coming into the sphere. It's got everybody flipped out in the Bible prophecy circles even more. And so let's hit clip 16, Mr. Producer.
In recent years, Turkey's been good at making enemies, but that appears to be changing. Moscow, the latest neighbor to be invited to a return to cordial relations.
We will increase the number of friends we have and reduce the number of enemies. Our efforts in this regard will continue at a steady pace. And not only with Russia or Egypt, we also want to improve ties with all Black Sea and Mediterranean countries.
Okay, stop it there and go ahead and forward to 218. Now, so this flip has happened. The coup, fake coup, we've all been watching it. Oh, those of us that that care about kind of geopolitics and how all of this interrelates. It now Turkey all of a sudden has flipped a script into the Russian-Iranian sphere. They were on board with NATO. They were going to try to topple Bashar al-Assad in Syria. Now this Erdogan character is moving back towards the Iranian-Russian kind of sphere. The next segment.
Area residents say the Souris River is turning red. Good evening, I'm Katie Perkins.
And I'm Joel Skorzeski. Thanks for joining us. It sounds like something you'd find in the Bible, a river turning red, but as it turns out, there is an explanation for what's happening. State health officials say they believe they know what's making the river look this way. And they say
all right, go ahead, go to the next.
Area resident John Dawson got quite.
Go to the next segment, 333. It's very wild, folks. These are kind of like the aggregators that get into all the various kind of apocalyptic sounding stuff, but I wanted to get some of it out. Go ahead.
In Brevard County, unfortunately, we have to report more dead fish have been spotted in the Nana River.
Daryl Neal got the tip late this afternoon. Daryl, what can you tell us about what's happening this time?
Ed, thanks for allowing us to come on your boat and show us what's going on. What did you see in terms of, can you quantify how many dead fish?
Yeah, Daryl, thanks for putting a spotlight on this. First of all, you know, this is something that's very important to me as a commissioner here. But as we turned here and made the right and went south, we started seeing little specks here and there, and then
all right, go to the next segment, Mr. Producer 432. It's just like this is a constant barrage, folks, where it's like holy cow, this is going on everywhere, and I wanted to just get some of these clips knocked out. Go ahead.
Ends with hundreds of dead fish washing up on the shores of Lake Thurmond. Early this morning, state agents launching an investigation to find out what caused that fish kill.
This is the worst I've seen.
Larry Spivey has lived on the lake for more than 16 years, and this is the first time he's seen something like this happen just feet away from his back door.
But this weekend, go ahead and forward to the next segment, 518. Folks, this isn't stopping. This is a constant assault on us with, like, giving us apocalyptic fish kill, our waterways, or I think we're being poisoned on purpose to try to freak us out. Go ahead, the next one, Ms. Producer.
Hundreds of dead fish wash up along the banks of the Auglaize River. This is NBC 24 News at 6. Good evening. I'm Laura Emerson. Tonight's big story, the investigation into what is causing the fish kill in Putnam County.
All right, next segment. Go ahead and go to the next one. We'll just try to finish it out. 612. But this is where it's going, folks. This is how, like, some of the channels that I watch, they're just aggregating these mainstream news. And you know, they're showing you pictures of the stuff. And so I think there's some seriously dirty actors causing this on purpose to freak us all out. Go ahead, the next one.
Lots of people are creeped out by the idea of scientists making human-animal hybrids in the lab, but the government's ban on funding the research turned out to be short-lived. The National Institutes of Health plans to start funding hybrid research in early 2017, around a year and a half after saying scientists needed to slow down and consider the implications. So when it comes to mixing human and animal DNA, that genie is long out of the bottle. What the government has been stalling over is a step further, putting not just human DNA, but human stem cells into animals.
Let's go to the next segment, 732. Sorry about that.
Well, what BGI can offer is something I could only dream about, and that is having whole genome sequencing done on these 2,000 extremely bright individuals. So by whole genome sequencing, I mean sequencing all 3 billion base pairs of DNA for each of these 2,000 individuals.
Oh, where intelligence is in the genes?
Well, people ask questions like, you know, why do you want to do this sort of research? And I think in honesty, any scientist would say, because I'm interested in understanding it. I want to understand why some kids learn better than others, why some children have trouble in school, trouble learning. But in terms of society, you know, and what good is it? Well, there's some bad that people worry about, like designer babies, you know, parents might select babies based on genes. I would say, well, we ought to talk about it. You know, maybe it isn't totally a bad thing to do.
We have initiated to sequence 5,000 twins. We are going to sequence 1 million Chinese in order to know more about their genomes. I don't know how many years it would take, and then we expect that the gene will tell us the answers. I have a dream that we are going to sequence every living thing on Earth. We are going to sequence everybody in the world.
Okay, you can stop it there. So this is a Chinese head of a major bio industry, and he's like, I have a dream. We're going to sequence every living thing on Earth, and we're going to sequence every person on the planet. So they're going full-blown eugenics, like silliness, to the point where everything's going to be artificial. If you reproduce, you're going to be able to pick, or they're going to be able to pick is the correct analogy here, but they're going to be able to pick what your kids are going to look like. This is to the point where we're reaching a breaking point. We're going to get to this thing to where something's going to happen very soon. And look at this. Troop movements, okay? All the people I pay attention to online, they're showing massive troop operations with foreign governments, the Latvians, the Poles, and I got buddies that just came back from Poland that I work with and so forth. Everybody's transplanting their militaries abroad, and so this is this big cross-transference. So when the crap hits the fan here, you might have a Pole or a Latvian or a Russian or something of this nature running, you know, police operations, you know, while our boys are over there doing the same thing. Let me get into this. Peter Thiel about drinking baby blood, these vampires, these billionaires. And so this is coming out in the open to where now these people are basically saying, yeah, we drink infant blood to keep us young. You know, Countess Bathory, this goes back way, way back into the murky kind of legends that we read about. Let's get into some of the Trump assassination stuff real quick. I got 20 minutes left. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip 14 real quick.
Hey, everybody. Dave Acton checking in. Well, you know, this meme of Trump assassination going on. And, of course, we think about hoax assassinations against Hilda. Etc., etc. But this is a very interesting story. If you read it, they stopped someone going into the Trump Tower, lurking around, according to this story. He was stopped by a Secret Service agent, actually had a pistol with a silencer. They booked him, they ran his prints, and it turned out that supposedly he was an FBI agent killed in 2007 during a bank robbery. So the report goes on to say that this is probably a secret Gladio agent who had his death faked and is a professional assassin. So again, we see the assassination theme. I'm sure this story is going to be covered up almost completely. But if you look into it, you find that there's this running Trump assassination, Trump assassination, Trump assassination. And that's why a lot of folks have been looking at August 8th as a hoax, false flag, PSYOP assassination attempt. Yeah, here's a Facebook page, the assassination of Donald Trump. Now, there's two ways to look
at
this.
You can stop it there, Mr. Producer. Go ahead and stop it. Now, today's the 8th. Operation Truth, everybody check that out with the Emmys and Homer Simpson and Peter, what's-his-face from Family Guy. That's a kind of an interesting, they're trying to say that they might have decoded a possible false flag on September 18th, 2016 at the Emmys, and you get into the numerology with 9/18/2016. It's very interesting. I figured I would mention it. Look, remember Tommy Massimo that tried to get to Trump stage, and then the little punk from England that tried to grab a cop's gun in Vegas, and now you got this silencer kind of scrubbed out FBI agent that was killed in 07, gets caught at the Trump Tower. Things are happening here. They're trying to scare Trump. Maybe this is why he endorsed Ryan. We don't know. Clip 15, Mr. Producer. Let's hit that one.
Everybody, Dave Acton checking in. Welcome back to our channel where we do our psychic paintball, just hypothetical and theoretical analysis of things that could happen. We don't know, but we do want to plan for things. So, again, the assassination of Donald Trump meet. Now, here, AMTV did a report. It's basically 12 minutes long. Assassination's mentioned six times. It's once every 2 minutes. So we see the assassination meme permeating even alternate media.
Again, the entire establishment hates this guy, hates Donald Trump. They want, God forbid, to assassinate him. They want.
You know, here we go again. So, all right, well, what would be the outcome? All right, well, if we were staging this based on our scripted PSYOP assassination hoax planning, number one, we'd have to find an MKUltra stooge. I'm sure we could scan some cell phones at a methadone clinic and find somebody who seems like he has Muslim descent. Bring him out, give him some MKUltra treatment, have him ready. He would be the extreme Muslim that we would put out as the assassin. Kind of like Sirhan Sirhan and Bobby Kennedy. For those millennials out there, Robert F. Kennedy was a senator who was assassinated after California primary in 1968. Which, after that, most of his followers just threw in the towel. They were demoralized and collapsed, did absolutely nothing. I think there were a few riots. So what would happen, God forbid, if there was an assassination of Donald Trump? Would his followers, the quote-unquote racist white crackers, would they continue his struggle and say, you know what, let's go burn down a mosque. We really don't care about these Gold Star families. That's all a put-on. Let's just go after these Muslims and clean the country out. Or would they just collapse and be demoralized and throw in the towel? And I think what we're headed for, if we do have a stage scripted fake hoax assassination on Donald Trump, or if it's real, that the followers would rise up and go burn down mosque and attack Muslims. I kind of think that's where it's headed, because then they could justify the backlash. These poor Gold Star families are being attacked by the quote-unquote white racist crackers. And then they could galvanize the Muslims and the BLM folks to support martial law and support roundup of weapons. I don't know. It seems like a plausible outcome to me.
Yeah, well, there you go, Mr. Producer. You can stop it there. So I figured I would put that out there and, you know, onto the air, because I like people that think, and I like people that, you know, look at these angles, BLM, and, you know, the Jewish funded BLM, these dumb black people that think Black Lives Matter to everybody except us. We kill each other with impunity, and we crap on each other, and we have babies out of wedlock just because, you know, anywhere we can stick our wiener, that's where we find a home for it. And so I look at this stuff on a daily basis. It's just absolute insanity. I live here in one of these areas, and it's pretty wild. Now, Warren Buffett, this clown, this old fart, supposedly, you know, uber rich. Where was Warren Buffett on 9/11? You remember where he was at, folks? Reportedly at his home in Omaha. He comes out, he repudiates Trump. He's in Hillary's camp. At his home in Omaha, watching TV when he heard about the attacks, he was getting ready to host his last annual golf charity event which just happened to be at the U.S. Strategic Command headquarters located Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha. Offutt, coincidentally, where President George W. Bush flew to on Air Force One later in the day for safety. This early golf charity event hosted by Mr. Buffett was to include celebrities, professional athletes, and a small group of business leaders, in which one of these, you know, this is how silly the whole thing is. So this creep, this old ice cream eating punk, Warren Buffett, Offutt in Nebraska, you know, same place where they had the Franklin cover up. Would they like to rape all those little boys? Yeah, Warren Buffett, you know, the king of Omaha, Boys Town. Oh, bunch of Jesuits and Catholics around there too. You see the seedy connections, run by all those priests. Yeah, pedophile networks, billionaires, priests, the entire, you know, British establishment. Jimmy Savile, the imams, they all like raping little boys too, don't they? Yeah, it's a big night. Rabbis, hey, read the Talmud. Get you some nice little boy booty. You like it? Yeah, they all are in on this. Nobody wants to connect these dots. It's sick. You know, I got a bunch of stuff here, and gosh, I want to get to so much. But let me get back to Victor Thorne, man. He just got whacked or supposedly killed himself. This is 9/11 Evil, his book, and I got 12 minutes left. Let me read a little bit. Very simple concept. A complete lack of regard for human life is what differentiates the majority of human beings from those who push the course of human history in such a bloody direction. They kill. They don't mind killing. And they're very adept at getting others to kill for them. Most people can't grasp the cold-blooded, alien nature of these creatures, for their mind frame and constitution is so starkly opposed to ours that we can't even comprehend its existence. But these monsters have always killed. Okay? The controllers formalize their ideas, spread them through the populace via a complex set of propaganda techniques, then implement them via war, state-sponsored terrorism, and other acts of savagery. This simple formula is revisionist history 101, and it is what permits those atop the control pyramid to continue their vicious rule, especially the final variable, violence. The ultra-rich and ultra-powerful are different than us, and not only because they have more money, is because they're more willing to kill, and they like killing. Psychopath. To them, terror has become a much-cherished ritual, which shell-shocks their citizenry into a continuing form of post-traumatic stress disorder. This debilitation accumulates to such an extent that the subjects of this onslaught can only compensate through avoidance, deliberate amnesia, or general apathy. Does that sound familiar? As a result, via public education, indoctrination, mass media conditioning, and the above-mentioned shocks to our system, Pearl Harbor, Hiroshima, the Manson slayings, Waco, Oklahoma City, Columbine, etc., it's almost as if we become genetically modified through each generation to the point that we're passive lambs with no fight or taste for revolution. You see why Victor Thorne's dead? This huge imposition of fear inducement has created an atmosphere of silence and inaction on the public's part, so much so that it's akin to someone watching a serial rapist repeating his predatory act over and over again without intervening. It's the same with government NWO killers. By remaining docile, we're in essence giving them our consent. Worse, these devils have programmed us so extensively that after committing their murderous deeds, the people actually turn to them for protection and salvation. Why? Because instead of discerning who the real culprits are, they're the latest handpicked enemy either real, perceived, or imagined. In this sense, our attackers and betrayers also become our guardians. It's called controlled chaos. Create turmoil, provide a solution, then reap the benefits of a desired outcome. The Hegelian dialectic at its most sinister. To perpetuate this mindset in the public, our terrorizers keep ratcheting up the fear on a continual basis. Mind you, this is written 11 years ago. Do you recall the aftermath of 9/11? First, there were staged anthrax scares, which ended immediately after the ingredients were traced directly back to a rabidly anti-Arab group of Zionists, specifically the Jewish Dr. Philip M. Zack at Maryland's Fort Detrick biowarfare facility. You gotta love Thorne. Then there were a slew of terror threats against malls, trains, stadiums, etc. When coupled with Homeland Security's color-coded terror alert charts, which were repeatedly broadcast on TV and radio, a permanent, all-permeating atmosphere of fear enveloped our society. Of course, this scenario played perfectly into the cabal's hands, for instead of investigating what really happened on 9/11, the vast majority of people were too preoccupied looking over their shoulders or turning their neighbors in under the TIPS program, Terrorism Information Prevention System. Over time, huge parts of society became addicted to this terrorization. Unadulterated fear junkies crawling and begging to their big brother for dealer pimp. I mean, this book, 9/11 Evil, folks, you've got to read it. Now, let me get to the really silly stuff. I circled this. Now, what follows is a sampling of how well-intentioned 9/11 researchers have been duped by the same cabal that operates the mainstream news networks and publications. Who comes to mind when I read this? Create a very extensive legend for law enforcement officials or other government employees, thrust them into the 9/11 truth movement, then immediately begin pushing people away from the World Trade Center controlled demolition and any Israel participation in the attacks. Also tell researchers to avoid physical evidence and instead focus on far-flung rabbit hole theories. This way they will occupy their time on wild goose chases instead of zeroing in on true crux issues. And I say this all the time. Remember? Oh, nanothermite, directed energy weapons, micro nukes. See, they got them all arguing over the mechanics of the operation rather than who carried out the operation. I said this for 2 years since I've been on the air. Invade 9/11 conferences and steer the discussion away from original intent. Distract the masses with peripheral issues such as pods. Unleash a gambit of hoaxers who say that no planes actually hit the towers. And instead that it was done by holograms. Well, that one's kind of a legit. Form a highly touted 9/11 group. Then inform your followers are not ready for the truth. Promote lie hop. Remember I talked about lie hop? Let it happen on purpose. Okay? That's what Jones is really good at. He's like, yeah, they let it happen on purpose. They saw the whole jihadi network. You see, these evil jihadis. They wanted to attack our country, and then the evil Bush cabal, they let it happen on purpose. Yeah, right. When the Arabs, the Muslims were just the patsies, and the Israeli gang, which I covered earlier, really did the mechanics of the operation. So Alex Jones is the lie hop king on 9/11. Let's see this. How many of you wonder have infiltrators and their associates in the 9/11 mafia cabal been successful in diminishing the movement's effectiveness? For starters, their primary purpose, just like the mainstream media, is to divert attention away from those who don't belong to their club. See, and I only got a couple minutes left, but that's the thing. They want to divert the people that say, hey, wait a minute. There's way too many Jewish mobsters and their operators involved in this. And so they want to blame it on Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and all the Gentiles that are part of PNAC. When PNAC was overrepresented by a lot of dual Israeli citizens and neocon Jews. But see, they point out the Gentiles in PNAC, and they don't really focus in on the Jewish guys in PNAC, who are really the Sionim network that carried out 9/11. And so that's how we kind of get who cuts through the men and the boys in this thing. And, you know, there's people making millions of dollars. They sell you supplements and they sell you a lot of T-shirts and the rest of it. But they're actually gatekeepers on the real heavy hitters that did 9/11 on us. And they weren't all Jews. There are plenty of Jesuit Georgetown Knights of Malta gangs involved. George J. Tenet's a perfect one, a crypto-Jewish guy, Jewish ethnicity, but yet he's a Knight of Malta. And so he's a perfect linchpin character to look at with 9/11, head of the CIA, you see, Central Intelligence Agency. Now you get into the NSA, the eagle standing on one of those keys, the silver key. Now, a lot of researchers think that that's one of the papal keys, okay? If you look at the papal crest, it's got a gold and a silver key crossed over. And so a lot of the papal researchers that say the papacy is responsible for every evil on the planet and the Jews are just an innocuous bunch of benevolent people that have had all kinds of bad things blamed on them out of the 100-some-odd times they've been kicked out of all these countries. You see, that papal key symbolizes that Rome is the epicenter of all evil. And the Jewish mafia, oh my gosh, they're just the biggest, you know, patsies, and they're the biggest people to project evil designs upon throughout, you know, history here. Even though they've been kicked out of all these countries for all their skullduggery, you know, these Jewish mobsters, they just got the brunt of a bunch of misdirected blame. You see, it was Rome the whole time, when actually it's a synergistic relationship between both of these kind of mobs, the great whore of Revelation and the synagogue of Satan, mentioned twice in the book of Revelation. So this is where I'm at. I hope you guys enjoyed the program. I was in overload. I didn't get to a lot of stuff, but stay alive, and hopefully none of us get assassinated like, you know, we're seeing witness. But, you know, you can't back down. You got to stay on it. We all have to. And this is what we're called to do as men. And I thank you for listening. Thank Ken. Thank everybody that posts the show. Hope to see you next week.
Have to suffer the same thing I did.
Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.